If you will begin to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We are on a series here, and it's called Mountain Move. And we are realizing that there are things that the enemy tries to place in our lives. And the way that we approach those mountains is not to find ways to just deal with the mountain and assume that it's always going to be there, but to look to the Word of God. And God gives us this command. He gives it to His disciples at one of the lowest points in their life. They have not been able to do something that they were told by Jesus that they could. And so they're defeated. And so He speaks into their life at a moment of great defeat. And so if you're here today and you're in a similar situation where you feel discouraged, you feel dismayed, you feel defeated, and you're thinking this can't possibly be for me, I would say, oh, it's most definitely for you. It's the exact environment in which Jesus spoke these words to His disciples and why it's recorded. It was recorded for you, so that you and I could hold these truths. The mountain today is the mountain of fear. Anybody know anything about that mountain? The mountain of fear. Anybody say, I'm glad I came today? Anybody say, oh, I'm a little nervous about you picking on something so familiar to me? It's the mountain of fear. And here's the approach that we take. Let me just read some things for context. Again, we want to make sure that when we do things, even like the dancing and the matzahs today, that we've rooted it and grounded it in the Word. And so I want to just share with you what Jesus said to the disciples. This is in Matthew 17. Keep your finger on Timothy. We're going to come back there. Jesus says, they ask Him, they said, why couldn't we drive this thing out? Why couldn't we cure this boy? And He says, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have the faith the size of just a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. That's the truth that we live under, whether we feel like it or not. There are days that we wake up and we don't feel like we can move impossible things. That's okay. We don't live by our emotions. We live by the Word of God. And that's what the Word of God says to us. And then to help me, because I look at times in my life and I'm like, okay, what are the mountains? How can I identify those things that are mountains? For me, this clearly describes the mountains in life. It is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul writes and he says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so for me, a mountain is this: anything that exalts itself. You think about that, lifting something up, just like a mountain being lifted up when you look at it into the distance. Anything that exalts itself up above the knowledge of God, where I'm looking at something and it appears bigger to God. Oh, that thing's got to go. Anything that you look at and say, you know, I see the Word, but I just don't know if it can happen for me. That's a mountain. Anything that exalts itself against God, we could define that as a mountain. And Jesus says to us, we can speak to that mountain and tell it to move. And we do that in part by taking every thought captive. Some of the greatest mountains we face are not the ones that are out in front of us that everybody can see. It's the ones that they can't see. It's the mountains inside our head. It's the things between our two ears. These things. I don't know if you've been following us on Facebook, but Amy put something on Facebook about that very thing, about the mountains between our ears and our minds. And it got such traction this week. There were so many views of that. You could tell it resonates with people. That they understand that many times no one sees your mountains because they're in our minds. They're things that we've created through our thought process. And so here is the thing. We're going to attack this mountain of fear today. In fact, fear comes, it's a chain of mountains, much like the Rockies, maybe more like the Himalayas actually. Fear is Everest, okay? But it has some other mountains that they're pretty nasty too. Some things like worry. We know about that? Worry exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So it includes this whole chain of mountains under fear. We'll call them worry. That's usually the lowest level. That's where it begins. And then it can move to a state of anxiety, and that's worse. Can reach a stage of panic and fear. And then it can be this sort of this dull set of mountain ranges called depression, even, to where you just seem to have lost hope. And all of those are these thought processes, these ways in which we think that then have incredible effects on our emotions. Would you agree? An incredible effect on our emotions, our outlook on life. It even affects our health, correct? It even has effects on our health. And so you know what's going to happen today? We're going to move those. By the Word of God, we're going to move them. And so here is the prayer for us today. I want to pray this over you even as we begin it. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Paul is writing to a young soldier named Timothy in the faith, and he shares these words, and they are repeated so many times. And I want to make sure that I'm prefacing the message today with this verse. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline. Some translations would say in a sound mind. And so let's just pray right now. And if you have walked in today and you understand worry, you understand fear, anxiety, panic, depression, any of those things, then I just want to begin to preface the message today with this prayer. Father, we thank you. We come to you in the name of Jesus and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we realize that our world and the world throughout time has had to deal with this issue of fear and all the things that surround it. But you promised us in your word that when you gave us your spirit, that this spirit is not a spirit of fear, it's not a spirit of timidity, but it is your Holy Spirit. And so I'm praying for every person here that it's a believer, that they have the Holy Spirit in them. I want you to confirm that in them today. And that your Holy Spirit brings with it the following thing. It brings with it power. Father, we have power to overcome anything that exalts itself against you. Father, remind us and encourage us in your power this morning, I pray. Of love. You said that perfect love cast out fear. And so I pray that we become so surrounded and engulfed by the love of your Son Jesus Christ that it cast out fear from us. And then, Lord, you said that we have a sound mind, that we have discipline, that we have the ability to control the things that we think. You said we can take our thoughts captive. And so if there's anyone here that believes that they are a prisoner to their thoughts and to their fears and into their worries, then Lord Jesus, remind them right now that you said we have self-discipline. We have a sound mind. We can take our thoughts captive. And that is what we will do today. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you've ever dealt with fear, you're not alone. I dare say everyone in the room has dealt with fear and will have to deal with issues of fear throughout their life. I did a little bit of studying just to find a few things and it came up with some really interesting things. I think you should know about them, so I'm going to tell you about them. Fear, the word fear not. Anybody ever heard that in Scripture, fear not? It is the phrase most repeated in Scripture. Did you know that? Of all the phrases that are repeated in Scripture, fear not is the one that you will find the most. Of all the phrases that Jesus utters in the New Testament, fear not is the one that he utters the most. Amazing, isn't it? There's about 103 times in Scripture that we're instructed to fear not. The word fear itself is found in the Bible 500 times. That's a large discussion. I think it's discussed that much because we have to deal with it so often. Almost every character in the Bible that you would probably be familiar with at some point has been told to fear not. Do you know why they were told to fear not? Because they were afraid. Yeah, just like us sometimes, they were afraid. All those great heroes, all the great warriors of the Bible that we look up to, they were afraid at times too. I love Joshua. Do any of you love Joshua? So many times he comes to Joshua and he says, Joshua, take courage. Don't be afraid. I imagine Joshua was one of those guys. He's like, I want to follow God. I'm just a little nervous. There's a big army in front of me. And God would come to him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then it is found in almost every book in the Bible. As I was looking through and scanning through, fear not is found in virtually every book in the Bible. So clearly there are some things to be said about this. And part of it is this. Let's understand what Satan is trying to do with this issue of fear. Satan is trying to occupy a position in your mind and in your heart. And he's trying to put fear there. Well, what's supposed to be there? Power is supposed to be there. You're supposed to live in this state of power and love and self-control. We're supposed to live with joy and peace. Would you not agree? That is our identity. That is what Christ died for. And so Satan looks at that and goes, you know what? A peaceful Christian is a dangerous Christian. A Christian who is filled with the joy of the Lord, they are dangerous. And so the place where peace is supposed to dwell and joy is supposed to dwell and self-control and all those things, Satan says, I wonder what I could put there. Because I'm a thief, I'm a liar, I'm a stealer, a killer, and a destroyer. So what is it that I can do that will get at their peace, that will get at their joy? Oh, yeah, if I put worry there, if I can get fear to enter in. And so that is what Satan is trying to do. And sometimes it helps me if I just know what he's doing. That way when I feel that worry coming, I'm like, oh, there he is again. And then there's something that sort of rises up inside of me. I want it to rise up inside of you too. When something rises up and tries to exalt itself above the name of God, I want you to look at that and go, oh, no, he ain't. Oh, he's trying to do it again. Oh, and bless the Lord, he will not. I was thinking about something else. I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden I was thinking, I don't know if that's a good thought that just ran through my mind. But you stand on this thing where you go, no, I will not be influenced by that. And so it is our job then to operate in power and love and a sound mind. How do we do that? I was looking at some verses. This one summarizes as well as any. So if you will, go to Isaiah 41, verse 10. I'll give you a minute to get there. Of all the people that God says, fear not. All the things that follow, I think you can summarize them in Isaiah 41. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. There are some translations that say, don't fear. For I am with you. Don't be dismayed. And then the last line, I will uphold you, some translations say, with my righteous right hand. As I look at that, I begin to see some things. And I want to share them with you today because I believe they'll help us and they'll advance us in moving this mountain of fear. The first thing is this. I see God speaking. When there is fear in an individual's life, I see that God is there and God is speaking and he's saying, do not be afraid. I don't know about you, but every time the worry comes in and the doubts and the fears come in, there is also a still voice that's telling me, don't be afraid. Are any of you with me? For those of you who have the Spirit of God in you, the longer you walk with God, the more you understand that that is actually the voice of God. Folks, every time fear is present, God is present with you too. Just like Larry said, I may not have walked with God all my life, but Jesus has been there with me. He's been protecting. He's been looking over me. I could have gotten in so much trouble if he was not there. So every time there is fear, rest assured that God is there too, and he is saying, fear not. Now here's the thing. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, then really the first thing you have to listen to with him is this voice to be saved. This voice to have him come and live in you and to be saved. Once you're saved, that voice of the Spirit of God, it's often so gentle. You know, fear, I'm going to warn you, I'm going to get a little loud here for just a minute, okay? Fear comes with a very loud voice sometimes, doesn't it? It starts off maybe small, but before long it starts screaming at you, doesn't it? It's like, be afraid, you should be afraid. Do you know what could happen to you? I wish God would talk so loudly. I wish He would come to me and say, don't worry, Kevin, it's going to be fine. It doesn't happen that way. Most of the time, what does He do? He comes to me and He says, I hear that voice of His Spirit calling me. Fear not, Kevin. Fear not. If you are looking for God to out-yell your worries, He is probably not. But if you'll listen for that still voice of God, I guarantee you He is speaking. And He's saying, fear not. But here's the best part. Because I could walk up to you when you're afraid, and I could give you a 10-cent answer for your million-dollar problem, and you begin to express why you're worrying, and I look at you and say, you know what? Just fear not. See, y'all want to slap me from there, don't you? Right? You do. You want to slap me from wherever you're sitting. You're like, really? You're going to give me the whole fear not thing? You know? But look what comes right after God says, fear not. What does He say? Let's go back to that verse, y'all. Oh, there it is right there. I am with you. Why not be afraid? Because He says, I'm with you. And I will. Every time in Scripture you find someone coming and saying, fear not, they also say this, I am with you. I will do this. I will do that. And so in the midst of the fear, God is also making promises. And so every fear, every worry is actually an opportunity for advancement. Now, what do I mean by that? There's an opportunity to get a spiritual promotion, whatever it is, whatever is in your mind right now. This is how it works. We begin to think about it. The fear comes. God comes in. He says, fear not. I'm with you. I've got this. I will do this. I have solutions to the problem if you will just trust me. And then we say, you know what? I am. I'm gonna rest in Him. And as you begin to trust in God, you have this opportunity to advance above the problem. But here's another thing. There is an opportunity to encounter God. Every time we're afraid, every time we're in fear, there is an opportunity to have an encounter with God. Quick story. We were, years ago, when I was at CFM, we were building cottages, the apartments that are for the seniors over on Village Drive. And we had a closing with HUD, and the closing document looked like it was about that big, and it was enormous. And we found out the day before we closed on these apartments that we had to have a particular kind of insurance, and we couldn't get it. There were all kind of insurance people in the church, and we felt sure that somebody could get it, couldn't get it. And so there was one company that said, we may be able to get it. Our closing started in Columbia at like 8 o'clock that morning. They said, we might be able to get it by lunchtime. I was afraid. I'm going to tell you. Because we had spent thousands of dollars on this project. There was time constraints. There were all kind of things. And I'm nervous. And Steve, he's the senior pastor. And I'm in charge of this project. And he looks at me and he says, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I would like for you to get me out of this. That's what I would like you to do. Being the wise guy that he is, he lets me decide. This is Kevin's moment with fear. Kevin's opportunity. He's either going to be crushed by it or he's going to overcome it. And I'm like, oh, what to do? And so I prayed and I said, God, if we don't close today, there's no telling when we'll close. We may not even get this project. It could pass us by and we could lose this thing. Lord, what am I supposed to do? And I just had this, it was that quiet thing again. It wasn't a, Kevin, this is God. It wasn't like that. I've never had one of those Kevin, this is God's moments. So when Kevin says God speaks, what he's saying is God's speaking in that still voice that often sounds like my thoughts, but it comes from that deeper, quieter, more peaceful place. And it was like, go ahead. And I'm like, go ahead. I don't know those people down there in HUD, but I think that if I go down there knowing that I don't have a particular document that I need and they know that I'm supposed to have it and I don't have, are you with me? That's probably not good. You know, I don't know what can happen, but that's probably not good. And so the Lord said, I got it. Talked to the insurance person. I said, you think you can get it by noon? They said, yes. I said, okay. I looked at Steve. I said, I think we should do it. So he said, all right, let's do it. Steve and I go down there. I don't know if he was afraid. I sure was. I'm sitting there, and I've never wanted a closing to go so slow in my life. You know, they would flip open a page, and I'd be like, let's look at that a little closely, shall we? Are we sure that we have everything? You know, and I'm like, stall, delay, do whatever you can. I'm like, oh boy, I think I've got to use the restroom. Yeah, whatever you can do. Coffee, anyone? You know, it's like, stall. It's getting right to the time. I know what page this thing is supposed to be on. We don't have that page. Okay? And so we're inching up on that page. We take a break. I go outside. I go to call, talk to the person. He says, guess what? We got it. Do you realize how relieved Kevin was? Whew. Man, man, man. Here's the reason I bring that up. So many times we're afraid of what could be, right? And we exaggerate the what could be's to these infinite extremes. When it comes to our health, we can already picture ourselves in the tomb, can't we? When we look at our kids, we can already picture them in the emergency room, can't we? It's just, we just think it's going to be terrible. I want to tell you this. God is a God of these amazing things where He does amazing things. But you know another way I've experienced God? I call it this. He is anticlimactic. And I love Him that way. Does anybody know what that means? Anticlimactic. You think that this thing is going to come down to something terrible and it's going to be big and it's going to be huge. And you know what happened? They took a break. They faxed us the document. That was back when you faxed stuff, by the way. They faxed us the document. We inserted it in the break into that page. They got to it. They didn't even look at that page. They clearly didn't know how hard we'd worked to get that page. I wanted them to look at that page. Flip right over it. Flip right over it. God, sometimes He intervenes and He doesn't. Sometimes you think moving the mountain is going to be this big deal. And you know what He does? He just goes, whew. And like He just breathes on it and just goes away. It doesn't always have to be this extravagant thing. More often than not, I tell you, I've watched God and He moves. And when He's done, it's like, really? I thought that was going to be such a huge deal. And God just took care of it. He just did. There's times where I believe God looks at us. He says, don't just do something. Stand there. Did you get that? Yeah, we're like, oh, I got to do something. You know, I got to do something. God said, don't just do something. Just stand there. I got this. I got this. And then, anytime there's fear, there's an opportunity to see things the way God sees things. And that's beautiful. I want to take you to a story in the Old Testament. It is in 2 Kings. You been to 2 Kings lately? There is this really cool story I want to share with you about seeing things the way God sees things. If you learn to see things the way God sees them, it will forever change your outlook on life. 2 Kings chapter 6. Let me set this cool story up. There's an enemy king to Israel, and he wants to attack. But every time he attacks, the prophet Elisha gets a word from God about what he's going to do. And so the prophet goes and runs to his side, his camp, and he says, this is what the enemy's getting ready to do. And they prepare themselves. And so this king of this enemy army gathers his people together, and he says, one of you guys is a spy, because every time we plan something, they're one step ahead of us. And somebody speaks up and says, king, there's no spy. There's a follower of God. There's a prophet. And every time you even think something in your bedroom, he knows it and he goes and tells. He's ratting you out. And so the king goes, fine, let's get him. And so he sends this army in 2 Kings. He sends an army after one man. That tells you how aggravated he is over this one man, the potential of one man who is following and hearing and seeing God. And so this army begins to encamp around Elisha. Elisha has a servant. And so look at verse 15. It says, now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. That's a pleasant thing to wake up to in the morning, isn't it? You know, you just wake up, you know, got his cup of coffee, walks out on the porch, and all of a sudden there's an army surrounded. And you know they're coming for Elijah and they're coming to kill him. And so what does it say? His servant said, goes back to Elisha and he says, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" You think he's afraid? Absolutely. And so he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with you are more than those who are with them." And then Elisha prayed and he said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see that? Here is the prophet Elisha. And even though there's an enemy circling around him, he's not afraid because spiritually he sees that there is an angel army. Do you realize that if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of angel armies, the Lord of hosts? And so even though the king is circled by these troops, he realizes that the angel army is greater. So he looks at his servant and he says, "Oh Lord, just let him see things the way that they really are." So the servant goes out and with spiritual eyes, he looks around and there's horses and there's chariots and they're on fire. I could just imagine the servant, he runs back, he says, "I'm good now. It's fine. We're going to be fine. It's going to be fine." Because he's seen it God's way. Every time we face fear, there is an opportunity to see things God's way. Here's an exercise that I've been doing. I'll challenge you to do it with me. I want to see things the way God sees them. I want to see with spiritual eyes what's going on. Because the New Testament tells us that, yes, there is a reality, this thing that is going on now. But there is also a realm where God is working. And if you get a glimpse of that, and you see it from God's perspective, it's hard to be afraid. And so I'm praying, "Lord, help me to see things the way that you see things." And I can't say that there's very many times I've looked out and with my physical eyes I have seen things spiritually. But I get these visions. Tiffany's talked about it before, like a mental picture, right? You get a mental picture in your head, almost like you're daydreaming of things that are going to happen. And I'm just praying, "God, let me see things the way that you see things." Because do you know that God laughs at his enemies? Do you know that? He laughs at his enemies. There are people and they go, "You know what? We think we're going to launch an attack against Christ." It's kind of like a kid. You know when your kids are growing up and they want to fight you? Yeah? And they walk up to you and they're like, "I'm going to beat you up." And you're like, "Sure you are." You know, and you just kind of hold them like that, you know, and they're like, you know, I can just picture that. God is like, "Really?" I mean, all these things that we worry about that we think is going to come against God, do you realize that he laughs at them all? He's like, "Really? That's funny. That really is." And if we could just see it from his perspective. And so I've been praying, "Lord, give me the spiritual eyes to see things." The end of that story is this. Elisha prays that the enemy army will be blinded. Then he walks up to the enemy army and he says, "Are you looking for that guy? I'll take you to him." He takes that army and he takes them right into Samaria where all the troops of Israel are. They surround them and then their eyes open up and they're encircled by the enemy. And the king looks at him and says, "What should we do? Shall we kill them?" I love this part. Elisha says, "No, don't kill them. Give them a feast." Huh? What? They're our enemies. He says, "Give them a feast. Feed them. Give them a bunch of stuff. Just feed them well. And then send them on their way." God is a God of infinite solutions to your problems, to my problems, those things that we're worried about. We would have thought, kill your enemy, right? The solution is feed them and feast them and send them on their way. Because you know what happened when they got back? They were like, "You ain't going to believe this. Something happened. We got lost. We ended up circled by the enemy, and we were just sure they were going to kill us." Do you know what they did? They prepared a banquet table, and they had a feast, and we celebrated, and they fed us. And man, we are full. Oh my gosh, our bellies are full. We had the best time. And they go back, and they go, "You know what? We should leave those guys alone." God's solutions are not our solutions. God has resources that we don't have. Are you with me? Please don't miss this point. There are so many times we're trying to figure a natural solution, and God says, "If you'll just see things the way that I see things, everybody else might want to curse their enemy. Everybody else might want to try to get revenge. I got a new weapon for you. Just bless them. Just bless them real good. You just never know if we see things the way that God sees things. And then this, there are times where you will not see a solution. You'll pray and you're like, God, I need to see a solution, and there just won't be a solution. Anybody ever been there? You just can't find a way out of that thing. You're looking and you're praying. It's not like you're not asking. You're praying and you're asking, you're searching, and you don't see anything. What do? In that verse that we had in Isaiah, go back to that verse for me, guys. Isaiah 41. Let me find it real quick for you, because I want to read you something. The rest of the chapter says this. Do not fear. I will help you. I will help you. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. There are times you will not see your redemption, and you'll have to hold on to your Redeemer. You with me? Let that one sink in for just a minute. There'll be times where you won't see redemption. You don't see an answer. It's not clear to you what to do. What do? You hold on to your Redeemer. There are times when we won't know exactly what to do right away. And what we do is we hold on to God who is faithful. We just hold on to Him and we just trust Him and we just wait. And there is this something amazing that happens. It's almost like when you got a child, and we've all done it. You ever been in the pool or something like that? You know that moment, that jumping moment where they jump into your arms and they're hesitating. And it's based on trust. That's all. They can't see you catching them. They don't know that you can. They don't know you're strong enough. And yet you're standing there and you're going, you just got to know me. If you know me, you're going to be fine. And it's a beautiful thing, isn't it, Dad? I don't know, mamas, I don't know if y'all do that or not. But for a dad, it's an amazing thing. When that child jumps into your arms for the first time, whatever it is, you go, oh, they trusted me. That's amazing. Can you imagine how God feels when His kids go, I can't see right now. I don't know how this situation is going to work out. But my daddy is faithful. And my daddy is strong. And my daddy has never let me down. And so my daddy will catch me. And then you take off. And it's in those moments that God, I believe, is most delighted in us. So let me wrap up with a couple of quick things. One is this. We're going to pray in just a moment. And we're going to do ministry. And we're going to cast out fear. In faith, I believe that if there's worry and there's doubt and there's fear, that we're going to minister to anyone who wants ministry. We're going to cast those things out. But here's the question. When that's gone, what's going to occupy that spot? If we cast out that fear, that place right now that's being held by fear, what's going to occupy that spot once it's gone? If the answer is nothing, then I can tell you that before long, the enemy will come back and he will try to reoccupy that space. And so everything that I've talked to you before leads us up to this moment right here. When fear is gone, we have to occupy that space with something. And you occupy it with the love of God. That's why being convinced and certain of the love of God for you is so important, because perfect love casts out fear. Long term, the thing that is going to keep us at peace, the thing that is going to help us overcome fear, is the fact that I know that God loves me. And this may be one of those situations where I jump, and the reason I jump is because I believe that God is good and I believe that He loves me. Would you say this, God is good? Will you say, God loves me? That's fundamental to overcoming fear. Those people that overcome fear are convinced of this fact. God loves me. God is good. He has good plans for me. I may not understand what is going on now, but I'm going to trust Him, and I'm going to move forward. And so what fills that spot? The love of God has to fill that spot. And then there are times where God asks us to do things, and we don't know if we can or not. And we're wondering if we can make it. What is the motivation like on the other side? I can tell you this right now. Whatever you're afraid of now, whatever is on the other side is better. And so it's worth pressing. it's worth not giving in. It's worth pursuing the victory on the other side. And so don't ever give up. The only ones that lose in this race are the ones that give up. Did you know that? That's the only ones that lose, the ones that just give up and quit. For everyone else, I am absolutely convinced that God comes to us, that God overcomes. If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.